This fan-run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan-run radio.
Today, we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue, it won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Good Friday to you out there. It's 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson.
Out there.
Adam Hickman.
Good Friday out there.
Free again.
Did you win karaoke last night, Adam?
That's not how it works, Nate.
Definitely got the loudest crowd reaction, I will say that.
What do you mean that's not how it works? It's like winning a press conference. It doesn't really count, but, you know, if you tell yourself you're a winner, you know?
2021.
There you go. Yeah. Wonder how's that work at the Olympics? They're like, no, I think I deserve the gold medal. And they're like, but you see... Your time was 10 seconds slower than all the other people.
I'm a gold medalist.
If the meme ever stands,
it is the Olympic guy standing on the podium, just like biting the medal, shaking up the bottle, and then you find out he's 10th on the list.
Is this a real meme or are you just... Not sure what happened there.
I'll find it for you.
Okay.
Do that.
I'm pumped this morning, Houston. Oh, man.
Here we go.
Football season is officially upon us. Because a certain 2020 Coach of the Year commemorative.
Tony Vitello.
Well, you can get that coming up.
I know.
Smoky Stadium.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm talking about football season, Houston. 2020 Coach
Nick
of the
Saban.
Year, Jamie Chadwell.
Oh, boy.
The bobblehead that I pre-ordered many moons ago.
Yes, you did.
Is on its way.
What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to set it right here.
Why? I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Chadwell. I just don't know if I want to sit next to him every day.
Maybe not every day, just occasionally. Definitely when it first comes in. I can set it over here.
It's Friday.
Hickman won't mind.
The weekend's tomorrow. Nate comes in.
Pumped.
There's news all over the sporting world, but he's ready for a ceramic doll featuring a coach at Myrtle Beach who has baggage.
Baggage.
Allegedly. That was
from the bookstore.
Yeah. Good.
Along with all the other athletic programs at the institution.
All right.
All the other winning programs across the country.
I mean, I think we can probably just call it a day right now. I mean, that's what else is there to talk about? You got the Chadwell bobblehead on the way.
Week two. Lance Leopold, right? Kansas?
Yes.
Travels to Conway, to Brooks Stadium, on the road in Myrtle Beach.
Brooks Stadium.
It's going to be a 7:30 Friday night matchup on ESPN2.
Way to go, guys. Way to just step all over the local high school games. That's awesome. That's good.
We get to see two of the coaches we could have hired in action.
You're not wrong there.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. That's big. So that's the Thursday after?
No, it's week two. They actually
week two.
They play on Thursday, same time as Tennessee, September 2nd. Well, I mean, they start at 7. What time's our kickoff?
8.
8?
Yeah.
Okay. Against the Citadel on ESPN Plus.
Citadel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trap game.
Bulldogs. I know. Early opener.
What's the line?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, it's a shame. Well, Tennessee's a 33-point favorite.
Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock, huh? What channel's that one on? SEC Network.
Has that been decided?
I think I saw SEC Network.
Surely to God, we did not move our game to Thursday at 8 o'clock and be on SEC Network.
I'm pretty sure.
No.
I think Ohio State plays.
They do.
A conference game that night.
That's fine. I'm just saying, surely we didn't move our game to Thursday night to be on SEC Network.
It's better than, like, ESPN3.
Yeah, but you don't move your game to be on a non...
Yeah, we've done it before whenever we had the Utah State game.
It's on SEC Network.
Seriously?
Dude, you keep, like, holding us at this stature of, like, this is, like, where we're at.
No, I'm not...
You're going to get
really
mad.
I'm not saying
we
should be on CBS. I'm saying I'm...
You're going to get really mad when I tell you what's on ESPN.
All right.
Boise State at UCF.
That night? That Thursday?
Yeah. 7 o'clock.
Wait. So we hired Josh Heupel from UCF.
Oh, my God. It's already
happening. We got Danny White.
It's already happening.
We got Danny White. We got Josh Heupel from UCF. They get the ESPN game on Thursday night?
They're already trumping us. Not to mention, they're rubbing in our face. We got Gus Malzahn. He's better than Josh Heupel.
Yeah, their fans are happy.
It's fine if you want to disagree with that right now. It's fine. It's just annoying that that's even a conversation.
Who do they? Boise?
Boise.
That's a big matchup.
They got a new coach.
At the bounce house. It even says that. Bounce house.
Who's favored? UCF by 4? Is that what I saw?
I don't know.
Who would have thought that the University of Tennessee could play a Thursday football game and it not be on ESPN?
It not be bigger than Boise State or UCF.
I mean, when are you asking me this question?
First of all, that's a credit to Josh Heupel. He built UCF up so much that they get the Thursday night. Yes,
that was a good
and Danny White. I mean, those. I mean, we
good try, good effort.
No, it's true. I mean, if they don't have all the success that they had there, this
the timing of this game was not announced until after they landed Gus Malzahn. Just FYI.
My guess, Danny White was probably working on the Thursday night game at UCF, and then he got here and was like, you know what, we need the Thursday night game. Get our fans out of the heat. You don't want to come in for a nooner on a Saturday in September. Is it September?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah, you don't want to melt people. So,
I mean,
this is just a testament to the job that Danny and Josh did.
I think you could say that about Danny. I don't know about Josh. Ohio State at Minnesota's on Fox. National, you know, antenna TV.
That's game one. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Out of the gates with a conference game?
Throw the boat.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's surprising.
What's Russell Smith going to do?
Cry.
You got to get two TVs.
Minnesota's going to get stomped.
Wait, who?
Russell Smith?
Oh.
Row the boat?
Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking you did not say Smith.
Oh, whatever. But
what do you think he said?
Russell Wilson, for some reason.
Did I say Russell Wilson?
No, you said Smith.
No.
Okay,
I don't think you did.
I don't know.
We'll check the tape.
Nah, I was just thinking about how if I'm an average viewer, I would definitely be more intrigued by the UCF-Boise State game.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, we're going to be up, you know, 35-0 at the end of the first half. So that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a competitive game. A four-point line, we're a 33-point favorite.
Did you see if it was a four-point line?
I'm pretty sure I saw that yesterday as I was looking through some games. I will check it just for you. I'm pretty sure I saw UCF favored by four. Which is good. Good for them. It's a tough trip for Boise. I almost lived in Boise for a summer.
Really?
Almost.
Is that when you went to New York?
Yep. They changed our assignment last minute.
What were you going to be doing in Boise?
Same thing I did in New York.
What'd you do?
Built windmills. Big ones. Turbines.
Big windmills.
Made by Vestas.
Big wind division guy you are.
I'm all about energy of any type. You got to have big wind energy.
ESPN has the line at UCF minus four.
See? Told you.
There you go.
That's just total total recall right there.
I give you credit.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Temple at Rutgers. Humbly,
I'll take it.
On the Big Ten Network as you keep track of Greg Schiano.
I don't.
Who else are we keeping track of?
Where are you getting your Schiano bobblehead?
I will not.
Okay. This is a big deal. We got to keep. So UCF.
There's a list.
Rutgers.
Sponsored by Butch Jones' back pocket.
Purdue.
Okay.
I mean, he was hired here. No, Jeff Brohm, former coach.
Yeah, what's the statute of limitations on the list?
Maybe not as much, Jeff Brohm. Lance Leopold.
Just one eye.
Kansas.
One eye.
Got to keep an eye on Kansas.
Yeah. If Lance Leopold rebuilds Kansas into a power.
Ole Miss.
That would never happen, right?
Liberty. Liberty for two reasons. We got Hugh Freeze, who we could have had, and now Caden Salter is probably going to be their starting quarterback.
No. They got the guy coming back from last year.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah. Oh, that guy's actually projected to go in like the top three rounds of the draft.
Dude's a stud.
Is it Malik something?
Malik. He,
sure.
He was an Auburn recruit. So Caden Salter's on the Malik something plan.
Did anybody hear Bear say that what the coaches did get to see out of Caden Salter at the practice over at Tennessee, they were amazed by him?
I've already thrown my headset once this segment.
That's just what Bear said yesterday. I
feel like if they were that amazed, they wouldn't have kicked him off the team.
No, you kind of had to set an example.
You didn't have to. Not if he's amazing. There's only two strikes. You get three.
The culture was already bleep before they got here.
I know, but
we didn't talk about.
So was our quarterback culture. We don't have a quarterback. If he's that good, you don't kick him off the team. You just you discipline.
I don't know. That's Bear.
We didn't talk about.
He made that up.
Daryl Milton doing that weird video at the Ole Miss thing, and then it flipping to West Virginia.
Yeah. When's that West Virginia game? When are we back in Charlotte to play then? Will he be there by then? Gosh, that guy has been.
I doubt it.
How old? Is he 34 years old?
I think we lump him in with a bunch of other D tackles.
Do you not remember that? He was at Powell, transferred to Oak Ridge.
I thought that was the candle kid. You know, the kid that hit the girl with the candle.
Emmett Gooden?
Yeah.
I think he bounced around a lot, too. But, no, Daryl Middleton, he was at Powell. I think he transferred to Oak Ridge, went JUCO. That guy's got to be 30 years old.
Yeah, I feel like he was in high school when I was.
Seriously. But I think, will he be at West Virginia when we play them? Probably. COVID.
Wait, he went to Powell and Oak Ridge?
I think so. I think that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
He was a tight end at the time. He grew from tight end to D end to D tackle.
He's in the...
Well, we recruited him twice.
Under three staffs.
So he went to Powell, Oak Ridge, East Mississippi Community College.
Yeah, Scuba, right?
Yeah.
Scuba.
Didn't say, oh. No.
Does it say it? Does it say?
He was class of 2019 coming out of JUCO.
Coming out of JUCO?
Yeah. It's like, what, 2017?
No, I swear, something weird happened. I promise you, I think Dooley recruited him. I'm almost certain. When was he born?
It doesn't have that on this recruiting profile.
Sorry. He's 30. He's got to be. He's probably got like four kids and a couple grandkids by now. Just saying. Thursday night, SEC Network. Who's going to be on the call for that? If we get Tom Hart, I'm good with it.
SEC Network.
Like,
well,
Tom Hart.
If the SEC has Oklahoma and Texas, I mean, obviously.
Okay, that's... it's way down the road, bro.
Well, we would...
Way down.
We could maybe know that they're going to be in. That
but who
point.
Cares? Doesn't impact anything.
I'm just saying, it's the SEC Network's becoming more of a national channel.
What? Okay. Anything else from yesterday? What do we miss anything? Was anybody impressive at SEC Media Days? Did Harsin do anything good?
No, I didn't hear anything out of that.
I didn't either.
The story was pretty much just turned into what's happening with Texas and Oklahoma. There were some funny comments from, I believe, Drink. That was about the only thing I heard out of SEC Media Days. As it relates to Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 had a meeting yesterday. Oklahoma and Texas were not in attendance.
Well, it was a call.
And they were invited.
Sorry?
That's a meeting now.
So they had like a conference call? Oklahoma and Texas were invited and supposed to be there and just didn't call in?
According to multiple journalists who have been pretty on top of it as it relates to college football, especially in the COVID era.
Well, the call was about extending the TV rights deal. So.
Well, naturally, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with that right now.
Right.
Adam
Spencer wrote an article that said, "Move aside, Lane Kiffin. Eli Drinkwitz is the new bad boy of the SEC."
There's no way. Have you seen him?
I know, but...
I'll give him credit. He looks like a complete nerd.
Mm-hmm.
His players seem to really like him. And if you close your eyes and just listen to him talk, not that bad.
Did you see his Air Jordans?
He didn't.
Yeah, he did.
They're not even a Jordan school.
I guess he didn't.
What a dork.
What if he's making fun of Dan Mullen? Would that make it better?
That would be awesome. That would be...
I have no problem if he has success.
Except that he's in the East.
Yeah, doesn't really matter with where we're at.
We beat their ass last year! What do you mean where we're at? You can't do that. No, they're on our even footing. We got to beat them. We got to be better than them.
Man, the whole conference is about to change anyway.
It doesn't matter. Like, they're still... It's 4 years away.
It doesn't matter where we're at.
We killed them. They were terrible.
The year two jump, we'll see.
They asked him about Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, the saddle up comments been the main headline. But
what's the saddle up thing? I don't get that.
Basically, he's like, yeah, it's okay, saddle up, because people were saying Missouri will vote no for sure, and he's like, saddle up, let's go.
It's not his vote.
I know, but this is a better quote about it. He goes, "I've been saying for years we're the best conference in college football, and obviously
for years you've been in the conference for less than a year."
Well, that's what's funny about it. Like, he's from App State.
I've been saying for decades.
He's not a Big 12 guy. Like, he's in the SEC. He's been in the SEC footprint longer than he's been at Missouri. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying it's funny. I've been saying for years that the SEC is the best comp.
But
you haven't been in the SEC.
Well, I know.
I still think most people outside of it recognize that.
But you don't say that to, like, recruits. Like, that's just a weird thing to say. It's on because he's a nerd.
Well, for 2 years, apparently. Remember, he's the one that called all the recruits and said, see, even Oklahoma and Texas want to be in our league.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I've been saying for years.
We're the best conference in college. And obviously, those places want to join us. So he definitely didn't try and squash the fire. And then he said, maybe we were trendsetters leaving the Big 12. Maybe that opened the door. And gave them the courage to try it, too. Like, that's a good line.
I just love that he's saying, look what we did, while he was, like...
Not there.
Yeah, like, calling plays for God knows who and the Missouri brass.
Let's not speak out of both sides of our mouth. We understand you just get there to talk, and it's basically just a
that
giant
was 10
info,
years ago.
It's just a giant infomercial to the recruits.
They're not...
No, it's true.
He said, they're not on our schedule this year, but if they are in the future, I hope I'm employed long enough at Mizzou to see that.
All right.
Those SEC media predictions come out yet?
I haven't seen.
Eli Drinkwitz asked Greg Sankey if horns down would be a penalty if Texas came to the SEC.
I did see that. Well, I don't know if he actually did it, but he at least made up a good little funny joke.
Sankey, no comment.
Naturally.
I just love that he's like just playing into it. Like he's just enjoying the drama.
He just happened to go on a day when there was going to be a lot of content. So good for him. Got lucky.
Drinkwitz on Florida's trip to Mizzou. I'm praying for snow.
Naturally.
Dan is going to
complain.
When
is that game?
Dan, get this. Dan is going to complain about everything anyway.
Yeah, I did see that. I'm telling you. You look at him and you think, and then you listen to him and you're like, dang, this guy's kind of,
I told you yesterday, I'm just embracing the Rob Lowe. Like, let's just get as many characters in this league as possible.
I mean,
I didn't expect when he was hired.
I kind of love this guy.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like, I didn't expect when he was hired that I'd have any affinity whatsoever in my entire life for Eli Drinkwitz.
If he coached at UT and wasn't winning 9 games a year, the fan base would be.
Oh, no. That's the thing.
Well, we do that with anybody.
Well, but that's the beauty of him going to
Missouri. They'd love
Missouri.
Him right now if he was in his first year.
Right. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, he can win 6-7 games a year for the next 5 years. He'll still be at Missouri. And their fans, if they, I don't think they're going to have any, but you know what I'm saying. But if he was here and did this kind of shtick and you weren't winning, it'd be Dooley, Butch.
Well, the good news about coaching at Mizzou is you got a lot of national journalists that went to school there.
That'll defend
so
you.
They'll back you up. Yeah.
And then this, I love this. He goes, and then he thanked Shane Beamer for informing the world that South Carolina is going to throw to the tight ends a bunch this season. Said the Tigers defense will be ready.
Like, that's a good underhanded, like, a little backhanded slap a little bit. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, hey, man, we all know what you were doing, but now I'm going to turn – I'll pretend you were being serious. It's smart. He's funny. I mean, it's weird, but his former players and even players on the team say, yeah, he's got swag, which you look at him and you say, ain't never seen swag. But he's – I don't know if it's the – is it the glasses? Is it the comb? The hair? I don't know.
The whole thing.
He's just – do you remember that video when they got that recruit?
Oh, yeah.
He walks into the office to celebrate. There's no one in the room. He's just like, yeah! Turns around and walks out. Oh, hey, guys. It's just – he's
– rats. Well, and then they were going crazy all around the
– what?
What was the guy's name?
It was a corner. It was like a three-star corner, but everybody wanted him.
Yeah.
Rat.
But they were the first.
Rat Snake, really? You think that's the kid's name?
It's something along those lines.
Oh, yeah. Brandon Rat Snake.
You can find it. It was last year. Last year's class.
No, it was 2 years ago when he got hired.
2 years ago, David.
He flipped him right when he got there.
They asked him if it's weird to not have a rivalry in the SEC. He said, I kind of like the rivalry we have with Arkansas. I can't remember the last time they beat us. Just because y'all don't think it's a rivalry doesn't mean it ain't a rivalry.
Rake straw. Rat snake, rake straw.
You were closer than I thought. I mean, rat snake, rake straw. You were closer than I thought. But something, I don't know, rat snake. Yeah, rake. What was his first name?
Where is it? Hey.
Rake straw.
This should give us more hope for
Enos.
For Josh Heupel.
Enos? Like big little Enos Burdett?
Enos Rake Straw Jr. It's a hell of a name.
Like Dan? Where is Dan? Enos?
What were you saying? Enos.
This should give us maybe the nerds are taking over the SEC, you know? Heupel, Drinkwitz.
Leach.
The old meathead Bama haircut guys, Kirby Smart, they're on their way out. The game has changed now. It's about
smarts.
It's about brains.
Did you hear Kirby, by the way?
Pruitt's gone.
Did you hear Kirby on the podium the other day?
No. Was it bad?
He is the most pompous.
Dan Mullen's a big nerd, too.
No, I know. Like, it's – I call him Dopey Dan, but, like, Dan Mullen's not a – I don't think he's a jerk. He's quirky.
Yeah. Talks a million miles an hour, really smart.
Yeah, kind of like Jimbo, you know. Yeah. But Kirby was like, I don't have time to listen to what outside people say. I'm too busy working. I'm working so hard. I don't hear what anybody else – it's just – it was the weirdest. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime someone just – all the time is talking about how hard they're working.
Oh, yeah.
I
they're trying to justify it to themselves. That's what they're doing.
I mean, he talked about how hard he worked for 5 minutes. In like a defensive way when there wasn't even a question. He's like, we hear all the outside noise, but I don't have time to listen to it because I'm just so busy working. I'm working so hard. I'm working so hard. I'm working so hard. I don't even have time for my life because I'm working so hard. You'll never believe how hard I work.
What I wouldn't give for Steve Spurrier to still be in the league and be able to go to the podium after that, especially because he hates Georgia. He'd be like, well, you know, we got some good players. We've been at the beach all summer. I hadn't really worked, you know, hadn't worked like Kirby, but, you know, we'll probably beat his ass.
I played 18 before I got here.
Yeah, if Georgia suspends a few kids, we probably got a shot.
That's why he's in. That's why he was the best. At talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd go.
Definitely
and
the best.
Then he'd take the boys to Arby's on the way out of town. Can't beat that.
Yeah,
I love that picture. He's like getting a Diet Coke from the fountain, and he's got his tie undone. Mm. Oh.
Let
classic.
Other people talk about how hard you work.
No, that's what I said.
You can't do that yourself.
It was just so
weird.
No one
wants to hear
Jones
you
move, man.
Yeah.
Tell everyone how hard you're working, especially when you make millions of dollars, you know?
And let's be real.
You can say
he's
we're
not
working.
Working that hard. Yeah, we.
I mean,
we're
working like
a heck.
I mean, if you're a single parent working three jobs to, you know, send your two kids to college or something, I mean, like, that's one thing. If you're working in the entertainment industry, basically, as a football coach,
and
making millions
of
dollars.
Let's be honest, man. Like, he's not working that hard.
No, he's just delegating.
He's just paying recruits.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Like, he's not working that hard.
Well, even if he's not, he's from freaking Georgia. Like, Atlanta's right there.
Yeah,
recruiting's easy.
Yeah, I mean, they won 10 games the year before you got there, bud. Like,
right.
It's not like you built it from the ground up. Sleeping giant.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. We are. We are the sleeping giant.
Come back with more.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Friday edition, Three and Out continues live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports, Knoxville. This segment brought to you by Smarter Searches. Check them out online at smartersearches.com for all your digital marketing needs. Locally owned and operated right here in Knoxville. It's Smarter Searches, proud sponsors of fanrunradio.com. Just go to smartersearches.com for all the info on how they can help your business grow. So Media Days is a wrap. Now we wait for...
No, we have Texas and Oklahoma to look forward to today.
Mm. That should be
it's not true.
Has anyone's
when
opinion
is, when
changed?
When is their media days? Opinion changed.
About adding those two teams to the conference.
No, I'm still the same. I don't love it. I don't hate it. If it happens, it happens. I'm fine with it.
Big
12
media days.
Probably next week.
July 14th through the 15th.
Oh, wow. Missed them.
Oh, we were off.
Yep. That would add up.
It looks like they went by with a whimper. So, seeing as I didn't even see anything on social media about it.
I don't either. That said, I don't see a lot about any media days other than SEC, but that's just because I follow the SEC.
Dion.
Did you see Nick Saban's response when he was asked, like, what do you want us to call you? He said, I really don't care. Like, but then he kind of dunked on Dion, but then he didn't. He said, I've been called anything and everything. So you can call me Nick, Coach, like, whatever. Not going to bother me. But then he said, I do believe people have, he didn't say right, but like people deserve to be called, you know, whatever they want to be addressed as.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird. Because, like,
I still don't like Dion, but I did see that based off how the video looked, it seemed more of like a joke in a way.
I mean, he walked out, though.
He did. Apparently, he knew the guy who was asking him the question, though. So that kind of makes me think a little bit more about it. And I, like, Dion's the type of guy, he's all about the drama. I could see him just doing it for a publicity stunt just to get people talking about it.
I did see some people say, well, everybody's talking about this right now. Maybe it was a good move.
That's even worse.
Yeah, like, what? I mean, just talk
it's
about your team.
Sad.
Just talk about your team. It's media days. And I don't know. Like, some media members get so upset when people call a coach because it's like, you're not my coach.
Right.
But then do you call him, like, what, Mr. Saban? Like, no one does that. So you say their first name. It's like, it's your name.
I don't have a problem with it.
Lord
with
Saban.
What?
Just saying, hey, Nick.
No, I don't either.
Like,
or coach. I really
don't
care.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
Or Lord.
King.
Lord Saban?
Lord Saban.
Dion.
Hmm. Fascinating. Anything else? Who all went yesterday?
It would have been...
It was Harson.
Barkley.
No,
he
went
two days ago. That's right.
He wasn't bad. I watched some of that.
So it was Eli and Harson and who else? Pittman, maybe?
Yeah, it was Pittman. I didn't see anything from him either. Not a single word.
I had something pulled up about him. Let me get back to it.
Okay.
I like Sam Pittman. Like, just kind of his coaching personality.
Houston, you talked about the article in the last segment yesterday. And it had to do with pretty much ranking college football programs and their worth. And you talked about if you had had Texas.
Yeah, I don't even know if Nate heard this. So I found a Wall Street Journal article from 2018 that ranked the I guess net worth or projected worth of football programs nationally.
Yeah.
If Tennessee were to add Texas and Oklahoma, they would have 7 of the top 10 programs in the country as far as
we talked about that part on air, but the question the question we didn't get to is it's like, well, where is the next Big 12 team on that list?
Yeah, I remember. It's bad. It was, I mean, I don't remember the numbers, but it was, I mean, they're the only two schools that matter in the whole league.
Yeah, they're both top five. Kansas State is third at 29 nationally.
Not even a top 25 team, if you want to think about it
right,
that way.
Right. Pretty.
That's crazy.
I mean, Kentucky's 31. Kansas State's third in the
third
Big
there,
12
yeah.
at 29.
Hmm.
Texas, obviously, number one. They make a lot of money. Was there anything else about that yesterday? Or I mean, it seems pretty cut and dry. It's like, you know, well, Dave, you said they skipped out on the meeting. Like, if it feels like it's going to happen, so
yeah,
whatever. Traditionalists not happy, but it's the new
world
order.
Have you guys seen reaction from the fans of those teams? What do they think?
I haven't seen any. They're probably like, cool, whatever, more money,
hook 'em.
Cool. Hook him. Tom Herman. Where did he go?
Nowhere yet.
No? He hasn't landed anywhere?
The Big 12 had a statement. They said, as per Dennis Dodd,
we're not going to talk about rumors.
Oklahoma and Texas are founding members of the Big 12, and we value their traditions and history of success. The 8 members strongly desire to retain the current composition, which has proven it can compete at the highest levels.
Yeah.
That's what you have to say. Yeah. You can't say, like, peace, you know. you got to try.
And Pete Thamel was talking about multiple sources have indicated to Yahoo Sports that Oklahoma and Texas are not expected to take part in the Big 12 call this evening, as I mentioned earlier.
And they didn't.
He says, as we reported earlier, it's a call to discuss the future and contingencies of the league.
Wow.
At the end of the day, we currently have 65 Power 5 programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got 64 plus Notre Dame, which is going to the ACC eventually. They're there for everything except for football. How many schools, I'll phrase it this way, how many schools do you think get left behind and are no longer considered a power at the end of the day? Or do you think that they end up bringing more schools to the power conference? Because I think if Oklahoma, the more I look into it, and Texas, whenever they leave, I don't see the Big 12 surviving as a Power 5 program. Like, that's like you're getting away from there as you continue to look down at who all they have and the amount of money they're going to be bringing in. At that point, I honestly don't know if you might be able to say that it's Conference USA with UCF, right?
AAC.
AAC, yeah.
I don't know.
Memphis used to be USA, and then now they're AAC. I think the American Athletic Conference might actually be comparable from a what they can get revenue-wise from like TV deals to the Big 12, minus Oklahoma and Texas.
I mean, especially if there's only 8. That's why I said, like, they're going to have to try to add, you know, BYU. But, I mean, no, I'm not knocking Boise State and BYU, but they're not that profitable. I mean, Oklahoma and Texas, it is what it is. They're too big for their league. There's no one else that can really compete, so they're making all the money and having to share it with everybody, and they're like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? Now they're, you know, wanting to join the SEC where they're going to get to keep more of their money. And be in, I mean, I know we've thrown up the term super conference, but that's exactly what this is going to be. As if the SEC needed to be stronger,
I mean,
right?
For some reason, it feels like 16 makes you a super conference. And when it's adding those two to get to 16,
yeah.
I mean, no offense to these schools, but if you had like Virginia Tech and West Virginia, it's like, yeah, you might have 16 teams, but that doesn't feel – that still feels very regional.
No, and
you had Oklahoma, Texas, not only is it farther outside of your original footprint, but it's like the two massive brands.
Like, it's weird.
Conference.
It is and it isn't. I mean, Austin, if I'm not mistaken, forgive me, I don't know Texas geography. Like, Austin is further west than College Station.
Correct.
But it's still the state of Texas.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, if you look at a map, like,
I'm just saying, like, Texas is already in the SEC footprint. And Oklahoma, I mean, there's, like, West Texas is further west than Oklahoma.
It's called Manifest Destiny.
It's called Manifest Destiny. What?
Just expanding. Taking the Lewis and Clark route.
I mean, it feels weird. I don't think it's a geography thing. I think it's just that Texas and Oklahoma have forever been Big 12.
Oh, it is. But that's the thing that kind of gets me, and I understand most people get into the mindset of, I've known it this way, therefore it should stay this way. And college sports started off as a regional thing, but as we've seen the money come in, it's
Well, and that's why the conferences were originally structured the way they were. It was like, well, this way we can play, you know, 9 games where we're not having to travel. But
it cuts down on expenses, but now the expenses aren't important.
Well, and travel's just so much easier. You know, I mean, when this first started, it was like, yeah, we got a bus everywhere. Now it's like, oh, yeah, we get a charter flight. We're there in an hour and a half. But, I mean, Rutgers is traveling to play Nebraska. Like, that's a haul.
I mean,
and West Virginia is already traveling to play, you know, Arizona
everybody.
State, like whatever. Like,
what was the stat? Because we had talked about it whenever West Virginia was playing Tennessee in that first game, but it's like their fans don't get to go to many away games because it's like over 800 miles to their
right,
closest away
right, yeah.
opponent.
Mm-hmm. It was. I mean, it really was something like that. Who's the closest Big 12 school? Would it be like Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like the
and it's not like you're lining up to go to Ames, man. Like,
no. But that's what I'm saying. Like the regional aspect of the conference is like it really doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought was funny. Is like people were just like it's called the SEC, the Southeastern Conference. I was like, well, it's also called the Big Ten, and they got 12 teams, and it's called
the
Big
12,
Ten has 14 teams, and the Big 12 has 10 teams.
Right.
It's like these names are just they're not important at this
point. And you know, I get it. Like it made sense at the time. Like, you know, the ACC is like, oh, well, yeah, we're on the Atlantic coast. All of our teams, all right? But that changes.
I mean, if they add Notre Dame, Indiana.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, that's going to happen. I don't know how soon, but like Notre Dame football wise is going to join the ACC.
Yeah, they
were. And are they on the Atlantic coast? No, I don't think so. But it's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just a name.
Do you think the comments coming out about the playoff committee to where, and again, like, this is going to change now, I think, as you see the conference realignment continued to shift, but Notre Dame was not guaranteed a spot.
Right.
Which is smart, but they're like, you know, pretty much, is that the playoff committee telling them join a conference?
Notre Dame guy said, cool, no worries. I think he'd rather be fifth. I think he gets to host the game. And he said, we don't have to play in a conference championship game. And we have 8 slots to get into now. He said, we used to only have 4. I don't know.
Until they join the ACC.
But maybe that was just
I don't know. You don't have a lot of Notre Dame fans around here, so again, it's kind of hard. Unless yeah. I don't travel the Midwest often, so it's like I don't know.
We'll come back with more final segment hour one next. Final segment, hour number one. talking college football, of course. SEC Media Days wrapped up yesterday. And the bombshell that Oklahoma and Texas reached out to the SEC dominates the news cycle at the moment. Of course, it's a lot of hurry up and wait when it comes to college football landscape changing.
Did you see what Dabo Swinney said?
Does seem like a lot of stuff is getting shaken up. No, what'd he say?
When was this?
Yesterday.
Okay.
He said if we're going to expand the playoff to 12 teams, better shorten the season.
He just wants to work less.
Does he realize that it's only an extra game for 12 teams and that shortening the season by two games for everyone would cost a lot of money?
It's only an extra game for eight teams, actually.
That's true.
And those eight teams would be teams that wouldn't be playing in the extra two games anyway. So really, if you think about it that way, it's only an extra game for so those eight teams play. There's four left, so that's an extra game. So it's really, and then
it's an extra game for four teams.
They would have preferred to have made the playoff and been in. So yeah, it's only an extra game for the four teams. Well, the four teams that lose their first playoff game, that's their bowl game, basically.
You're right. Yeah.
So they're the same, so they don't count.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got the four teams that have won that game now playing a second game. Well, if they had made the original playoff and won their first round game, that would be an extra game anyway. So really, they don't even count. It's only an extra game for two teams in all of college football. Yeah.
But not, I mean, if you make the top four, it's not. Because you're still only playing two.
No, it's
you're right. It's an extra one for them. If you win.
That's not even right. It's an extra game for 0-4 teams.
Right. That's only what I'm saying, depending on who wins and loses and where you started in the bracket.
Only if 5-8 pull off an upset.
That's it. It's stupid.
He doesn't even math.
It's Dabo Swinney. Are we surprised?
No.
Once again.
Yeah, it's only an extra game if there's an upset in the playoff.
Right.
Because if there's not, the 5-8 teams, and I say that even if it's a 12, the same thing. Whoever wins the first round, the four teams that win the first round,
they'd have to make it to the final.
For it to be an extra game.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, think they're going to be upset that they're winning games and going further than they were supposed to?
Well, no, they'd make the semis.
Yeah, semis, yeah.
For them, and they made the final be two extra games. But that would only be, I mean, max two teams.
No, it's ridiculous.
And hardly ever happens.
He did say what I've been saying for years, which is he wants to get rid of FCS or lower games in the regular season and do like two scrimmages in the spring.
Yeah.
Which I've been on board with that for a long time. I know, you know, everybody, we got to take care of the smaller schools, got to pay them, got to do the bye game. They come in, get their teeth kicked in, but you could still do that in the spring. You could sell tickets. I mean, it'd just get two scrimmages.
You don't even have to play your stars.
Exactly, yeah.
Play them a little bit, like an NFL preseason game. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that would be a really good idea, especially if we do this, you know, expansion like everyone's looking at. Because like I said yesterday, like gone will be, you had Texas and Oklahoma and redo all the scheduling and the divisions and all that. Like gone is the undefeated national championship, most likely, in the SEC. So I think it'd be a good idea to have two spring scrimmages where you can almost train your fans not to worry about wins and losses as much. Like if you bring in, I don't know, name a team, but you're not playing your starters and you lose, it's like, oh, we lost to so-and-so. It's like, yeah, we weren't playing. Don't worry about
it. That's where I'm at. Like a lot of people, the FCS thing, like I've made that point before. I've been consistent in that. I just want it to be like Power 5 schools just playing one another. But it's like, I watch the game of football a lot, like some people do it just because like it's what they've always known. And I've always known it, but I just like, I look for competitive games. Like no one is drawing eyes to the game of Alabama versus Louisiana Monroe.
You're only drawing fans of those schools. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not going to sit down on a Saturday afternoon and choose that game over any conference v. conference or competitive type game. It's just not going
to
happen.
And the biggest thing, too, and this is why, and continue to talk about the shift in landscape, is, I mean, you look at the TV rights deals and just how every game is on. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time a game has not been televised in some capacity that was by a Power 5 program. Even if it was going back to like pay-per-view. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. You have to go post, so far back.
Post 2000, I don't know if there's a single example. And so when you look at it, these TV companies just want to make sure that they are having people come in and watch, and that way they're able to sell to advertisers. So the best way to do that is just to have competitive games. And so I understand a lot of people look at it and they're like, well, this is what I knew in the 1980s when I was growing up. And it's just like, you know, it's about the pageantry and the passion. Guys, those days are gone. And it, like I say it all the time, like adapt or die. And so it's, if you want to shift with it and be ahead of it, it's like those games are going away. And we saw it more and more last year whenever you only played conference games.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I mean, I think 9 conference games are coming in the next, I'd say 4 years.
You have to if you're the SEC and you have 16 teams. Because if you're only at 8, you don't even play half the teams in your conference.
Mm-hmm. Because Big 12's at 9, right? Because 10 teams, they all play each other, so they're at 9 conference games.
You would play half the game. I stated that. It's the wrong verb there, but
yeah, with 8, you're playing half.
It's where things are headed, man.
Mm-hmm. Good. No doubt.
Embrace it. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, embrace it. Or don't. And, like, that's why, I like, at least Tennessee's at its lowest point. This is probably the best time in history for Tennessee to be at its lowest point. Because everything is changing so rapidly. Here's my optimistic take. Everything's changing so rapidly, everyone else at least gets set on somewhat of an equal playing field.
No, now, I said that yesterday. This up, like, it resets it, yeah.
If you screw this up, though, you're probably stuck in this situation for 20 to 30 years.
Another 20. 30 years. No comment.
All right, we'll come back. We'll start our number 2 next.